Well, praise the Lord. You glad in the house of God tonight? Well, I'm glad I'm here too, amen. Glad I could make it this evening. And, sometimes I don't know if I'm going to make it very far, but I start out someplace. And if anybody ever forgot which way you're going when you're going somewhere, boy, I thank the Lord for my GPS, amen. Well, I found something out about this stinking thing. You put an address in and sometimes it still takes you to the wrong place, amen. Or it takes you 20 miles out of your way to get there, you know. Yeah, I tell you. My wife was following me one time and I had that big truck and that trailer and I was going down the highway and she called me on the phone and she says, you know, if you just keep on going straight, you'll run into the major highway that we want. Well, I said, I'm following the GPS. Good night. That thing took me down here and took me down here and took me down here and then took me down here. And it brought me back up on the same road this went off of. And she said, I'm just going. She just took off and left me there. I just kept on driving behind her somewhere. She beat me home by half hour. Amen. We had about only about an 8 hour ride to go. And she was sitting there waiting for me to pull in the driveway after I finally got there. And I said, I love you too, honey. You know, I never leave you stranded like that. You know, it's, you know, she said, well, that's what you get for listening to that other woman in your life. I'm going to change the voice to man. I'm tired of women telling me what to do. Amen. Just saying. They say that there's seven stages of life. When you're just a toddler, they call that the spill stage. How many remember that with your kids? You know, they spill everything. Hey, by the way, you end up that way too. I spill more stuff now. I'm not kidding you. But the spill stage, then you have the school age, which is the drill stage. That's because you get all those little drills in school. You do the, you know, man alive. Then you got the teenage years, which is called the thrill stage. And then you get the adulthood. That's called the bill stage. And then you get the old adulthood. That's called the ills, pills, and wills stage. Amen. Some of you got that. A couple of you still aren't sure. Yeah. Over to the book of Jeremiah tonight with me in chapter 6. Jeremiah in chapter 6 this evening, if you would, please. And I do love this church. I've been coming here since 1990 and ministering the first 3 years, I was here every year in a row, Brother Tom, for 3 years in a row, the first 91 and 92. And then we started have a few other evangelists, and then we went to every third year, and I didn't mind that. That was pretty good. I just glad you didn't leave it every 10th year, you know. So I don't mind coming back in 3 years, but I don't want to stay gone longer than that and miss everybody's face, you know. And boy, this congregation has changed over the years. Some of you I didn't even know back then. And of course, Roy, he's looks just as old now as he did then. Amen. But, you know, praise the Lord. And, I'm glad you haven't changed, brother. Amen. Just saying amen. But God is good. Jeremiah chapter 6 with me. And I'm going to read two verses to you. Then we'll pray real quick and get into the word tonight. The Bible says this in Jeremiah. Jeremiah is warning the nation of Israel. And then he comes to this point where he makes a statement to them in verse 16. He says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also, verse 17, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Father, tonight as we look at this text and some thoughts in this text, God, I ask that you would use it to speak to our hearts, Father, and challenge us, Father, for revival. And God, you'd have the honor and the glory now, Father, speak to hearts. If there's someone that's not saved here tonight, Father, we pray for that soul. Speak to them, Lord. Help them tonight to find Jesus Christ. In Jesus' precious name we pray and give you the thanksgiving. Amen and amen. I want to begin with this thought tonight as we look at Jeremiah chapter 6. I want to go back to verse 16 where he says this, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. Stand ye in the ways and see. And that deals with the thought of examination. examining for tonight. I want to apply this. We know he's speaking to Israel here, but I want to apply this to the church. I want to apply this to the born again believer saved by the very grace of God tonight, if we could. And so I want to talk about examination for a minute. We need to examine ourselves according to the Word of God. If you would turn with me in your Bibles, keep a Bible marker or a piece of paper, your Bible finger in that page, you know, right where we are at. And go over to the book of 1 Corinthians with me, if you would, please. The book of 1 Corinthians in the New Testament in chapter 11. Over in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, and we're just going to read a couple of verses here. Beginning in verse 27, this is where he's talking about the communion table in the house of God. But he makes a statement at the end of this thought on taking the bread and taking the cup representing his blood and the bread representing his body. And he gets down to verse 27. He says this. He says, "Wherefore, whoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." So then he says, "But let a man examine himself." And he said, "And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." So he's saying, judge yourself. Make sure, here's what I wrote down in my notes, here's what I have in my notes. Make sure that you know that you are saved. Make sure that you know that you're not doing something that you will be judged for as an individual not knowing Christ as your Savior. And my friend, listen, the only way you can get into heaven is Jesus Christ. That's it. You can't get there any other way, no shape, no form, no way. He is the only one that can get you into heaven. You might think that you're okay. You might think you don't do anything wrong. You might think you're not like Mike Patterson used to be. You might not think that like I was, you didn't do drugs, you didn't drink alcohol, and you didn't live wicked, you didn't steal, you didn't forge checks. I did all that stuff. Amen. I'm saying I'm not happy about it. I'm saying that's what my life was before I got saved by the grace of God. And you say, "Well, I don't do all those things." It doesn't matter. It's not those things that put you in hell. What puts you in hell is not knowing Jesus Christ, your Savior. We're all hell bound until we come to the salvation knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's not what you do. I told you the other day, but it's what you are. That's what sends a person to hell. Not what they do, but what they are. If it was what we did that would send us to hell, then there would be none of us that would be able to get into heaven, because none of us could do good enough to ever get there. For by grace you are saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. Why? Because it's the gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you could boast, then you could say, "I worked my way in," and you can't do that. It's only by the grace of God that you can have eternal life for what he has done for you. Examination. You need to examine yourself. Listen, examine your heart tonight. Examine yourself. In fact, ask yourself this question right now where you're sitting. And I'm not going to have you raise your hand or anything else. I just want you to ask yourself this question. If I died tonight, where would I spend eternity? If my life ended, and I hope that doesn't happen to anybody in here. Amen. We don't know when we're going to take our last breath. It could be tonight. It could be tonight for me. I have a old friend. He's 90 years old. And I preached a meeting with him up in Michigan. He preached and I preached. And man, what a preacher he was. He was an old guy. Roy, he was older than you. Amen. Not much, but older than you. Amen. And he preached. With me. And then about a month later, he was in a church preaching a revival meeting. And he finished up Wednesday night in that revival meeting, and he went home to the motel, went back to the motel. His wife had been gone for a few years, and he laid down in the bed, and he woke up in glory. His life ended that night after he was done preaching. Yeah, I know another guy. A guy told me one time, I was preaching a message on, I call it Stand Up, Stand Fast, and Stand Out. It's about Shadrach, Meshach, and Radio Shack. Amen. And, some of you get that, you know. Shadrach, Meshach, and who? Abednego, amen. And I heard somebody say that's an abended knee, amen. Well, I've heard a lot of things about it. I won't make statements about some things I've heard about that statements in that verse. But he said, I preached that message. Well, his nephew was there, whose nephew was 80 years old. He said, I remember my uncle, he said, he was here, I was bigger then, I was about 285, 290 then. And he said, my uncle was your size. And he said, he preached a message almost like that. I watched him one night, preached a message almost like that. And he said, out of that same text, and when he was done, he got off the platform, he turned around down at the front pew, and he said, okay, Lord, I'm ready. And he sat down and he died right there. And he knew he was having problems. Like, well, what a way to go, amen. Not while I'm preaching, I hope. I know some of them have died while they're preaching, but I'd like to finish the message first, amen. Just saying. But here's the thing. If I die, I know I have eternal life. Now, I'm not worried. I'm not afraid. I'm not scared. When I lay my head down on my pillow at night, I lay my head down like this on my pillow at night, wondering if I'm going to get up in the morning in glory. That's how I go to sleep every night. I'm not worried about it. No matter how sick I've been, no matter open heart surgery, no matter back surgery, no matter man, I tell you what, they want to do so much to me yet that I'm not letting them right now. Amen. And say, let me at least die in peace. That's what I'm thinking. No, but we need to know Christ. Examine yourself. Ask yourself the question, if I die tonight, would I be in heaven? Ask yourself that question in your mind. And think about that during this message. Think about that during this message. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 with me. 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians in chapter 13, just another chapter over in the Bible. And over in 2 Corinthians in chapter 13, I want to look at one verse with you. And this now, the first one is speaking to unbelievers and believers who aren't living right. But this one is speaking specifically to believers and, again, unbelievers. Watch what it says. He says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Know for sure. You can't get to heaven on grandma's coattails. Amen. You can't get to heaven on mommy's coattails or daddy's coattails. You can only get to heaven through Jesus Christ. So he says, examine yourself, ask yourself whether ye be in the faith. Are you in the faith? Prove your own selves. Prove it out. You say, I'm saved, then make sure that you know that you're saved. He says, know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Prove yourself. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. And that term reprobate is speaking about those who are unsaved. And there's many different terms for the unsaved. It's the unsaved, it's reprobates, it's the ungodly, it's the unrighteous, it's the impure, it's the unholy. And so there's many terms that they use for the unsaved. So it's not saying that he's talking about reprobate in spirit. It might not be how you live. It's how your spirit is. You're separated from God. And he looks at you as a reprobate because you do not know him. You have not trusted him. Do not believe in him. And you need to come to your self-examination. I was preaching a message in a camp years ago. Man, I preached a lot of camps over the years in the summer for teenagers. And I was preaching. I was there for the whole summer. I was there for 7 weeks in a row. And I had 3 weeks of teenagers. And 2 weeks at the camp, and then 1 week what they called a wilderness camp. And man, I didn't sleep over there. I'm glad I didn't, man. That was a nasty area to sleep in where they were at, all mosquito bit and stuff. And then I had juniors, and I had 2 weeks of junior kids, and I was there 7 weeks anyway. And in the second week, the first week of teen camp at the camp itself, I was preaching, and I had a young man, and on Friday night, he came up to me after I was done, and he walked up to me, he said, Brother Mike, he said, tonight you made a statement that if you say you're saved, but there has never been any change and no real desire to change, then you're probably not saved. And he said, I don't think I'm saved. And so I asked him, and I said, well, tell me. Why don't you think you're saved? He said, well, I was about 4 years old. My mother took me into a bedroom and we talked. And he said, I don't remember what was said. I come out of the bedroom and they were all happy. And And she said, I prayed and asked Jesus to forgive me for my sin. He said, but there's never been a desire to serve God in my life or a desire to be saved. He was on staff at that camp. He said, I'm just here because I can get a couple of dollars and not have to be at home. That's what he told me. And so he said, so I took him through the scripture. Because I feel if he said a prayer and if he meant it, and he doesn't know at the time, so I took him through the scripture on eternal security and dealt with him about eternal security, what it means to be saved and stay saved and can't lose what God gave you because you didn't do anything for it. God gave it to you. He did all the work on the cross of Calvary, amen. He made it possible for you to be saved. Not what you did, but it's what he's done. And I took him through all that scripture, and I said, what do you think now? He said, I'm not saved. And I said, okay, so do you know how to get saved? He said, yeah. I said, well, then bow your head and pray right here. Man, he prayed one of the sweetest prayers. And when he was done, that young man, he changed. I mean, he changed. He called his mother on the phone that night, right? And his mother was in the kitchen, and she had him on the speakerphone. And his older brother, who was 17 years old, this was on a Friday night. His older brother was 17 on Friday night. And he said, at 17 years old, he said, my older brother was standing in the kitchen. And he said, my older brother heard me tell my mom how I got saved and how wonderful it was just to know that I'm going to heaven now when I die. And he said, my mother was rejoicing. I was rejoicing. He said, my brother's in the background and he's listening to all this. He said his brother, who turned 18 on Monday, the following Monday, the second week of teen camp, called the camp director, who's a dear friend of mine at the time, and he's still a dear friend, but he's no longer a camp director. And he said he called the camp director, and he asked the camp director, he said, would it be possible if I could come to the camp tonight and sit with my brother and hear the preacher preach? And he said, yes, Monday night. His plan on Monday, he turned 18 years old, and in Michigan, it's legal to drink at the age of 18 years old, and he planned on going out and getting drunk on his 18th birthday. He said, but when he heard that testimony from his brother on Friday night, he said, I decided I needed to be in camp on a Monday night, and he came, and I gave the invitation, and he walked forward, and he said, I know I'm not saved. And he trusted Christ as a Savior that night. I watched the two young men after he got saved run up to each other, hug each other, just weeping in each other's arms. And here's what they said. Now, their father was a deacon in the Baptist church where they attended. And here's what they said. We need to tell Dad because he needs to be saved. You know why? Because they never lived the testimony of Jesus Christ in front of them, even though he was a deacon in the church. And they did not believe their dad was saved. How sad that is. Well, your testimony means something. Your neighbors watch you. You say you're a Christian. Your neighbors watch you. We need revival in America. Amen. We need revival. How are people going to see revival if they don't see something in us that will help them change? They look at us. They look at me. They look at you. And when we become grouchy and mean and ugly towards them, my friend, nobody, why would they want to come to a church if people in the church are drinking and smoking and living ungodly and cussing and swearing and telling filthy jokes and talking about filthy things to each other and they're listening to this? Why would they want to come? That's what the world does. People in the world know the church is supposed to be different. Amen. The difference is we don't know we're supposed to be different sometimes. Boy, I tell you, that ought to convict us, amen. Examine yourself. Make sure that you know you're in the faith. Examine yourself and make sure you're in the right relationship with God as a believer in Jesus Christ. Number two, go back to the text with me in Jeremiah chapter 6, please. Jeremiah chapter 6. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. Then he says, and ask for the old paths. That's prayer. Ask for the old paths. Pray to God. God, show me the right way. We don't want the old paths today. We don't want the old time religion. We like to sing about it. We like to talk about it. But some of us don't want that because if we do, it means we're going to have to change our lifestyle and change the things that we are doing. I want to tell you, my friend, we need to make sure our heart's in the right relationship with God as believers in Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 16 says, rejoice evermore. Amen. Rejoice evermore. The next verse. Pray without ceasing. That means being in an attitude of prayer all the time. It does not mean when you're going down the road driving that you close your eyes and bow your head. I don't think I'd try that, amen. You want to go to heaven real quick? Go ahead. But I don't think that's going to be me, you know. And then he says in verse 18, remember, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. Now watch. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Wow. Now, that verse sounds good, doesn't it? But can I make a statement to you? Sometimes it's a little hard to give thanks when you're going through some very difficult times, or you've been hurt tremendously by somebody, or you have been beat up, or you've been abused. Amen. But he says, rejoice evermore and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I tell you, I know what it's like to have someone hurt you in a mean way, even as a preacher. And when it happens, let me say it this way. There are some things in your life you will never get over. You got me? Am I right? But there's nothing in your life that you cannot get above. See the difference? You might not ever get over it, but you can surely get above it. Why? Because he's not down here, you know, fighting with you. He's up there loving you. And you get close to God. You get close to God. You might not ever forget what's happened. You might not ever forget what has gone on. You might not ever forget how someone has done you. You might not ever forget how someone has hurt you tremendously. But you can get above that hurt. You get above those things and go on and serve God with a smile and do right as a child of God and obey God with your Christian life. Just obey Him. Amen. We want revival. We say we want revival, but we're not always willing to do what it takes to have revival. You want revival? Get above it. Get above it. Get revival in your life. He goes on to say, and everything give thanks for this for God Christ Jesus concerning you, quench not the Spirit. Don't put a bucket of water in the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. If God speaks to your heart, do something about it. We talked about America needing revival. There will not be a revival in America if the church doesn't get revival. If the believer doesn't get revival, there will not be revival in America. And we need revival in America. I believe we can have revival in America. I believe it's still a possibility today. If not, I'm wasting my time. If not, then I'll just sit back and do absolutely nothing. I believe this is what God's will is for me. And he has me doing, I've done this 37 years. I think I know a little bit about what I'm talking about. Amen. We need revival. I need revival in my own life sometimes. And I want not just waking up and feel revived in the morning. No, I want to have revival from the Holy Spirit of God, dealing with my heart, working in my heart, and moving in my life. And that's what we should desire as believers in Jesus Christ. He said, Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Wow. Continuing instant in prayer. Patient in tribulation. I don't know about you, but when I'm going through it, I'm not very patient sometimes, amen. Sometimes when I'm going through it, I don't know how you are with it, but sometimes, do your hackles ever get up? You know what I mean by that? You know, and just maybe you might start to get red from here to here because you're just a little upset about something. Sometimes I'm not very patient. Sometimes I've been more patient with other people than I have been with my own family. Maybe you want to admit that with me out here tonight. You know, sometimes we're more patient with others than we are with our own family, with our own wives, with our own children. I have no patience with my grandchildren. I love them to death. My wife can spend all day with them. I'm done after about 10 or 15 minutes. I'm ready to cut ties and go home, man. They wear me out in a heartbeat, you know. I've got a grandson. I love him to death. I really do. He's 18 years old now. But when he's about 16, him and his dad were at my house, and I had a bad elbow. I could hardly get up off the floor, and I had to install a toilet in our house. And so they come out to help me take the old one out, and I got it all loose, and they picked it up and carried it outside, you know, and we're setting a new one in. And you know, that old wax rings, you know, I don't put them on. I use them silicone rings now that they have, you know, those are nice. But anyway, the old wax ring, and you got to scrape that thing. It makes a mess, you know. And I said, and I had a bunch of paper towels in there, but they were building up and stuff was all over them. And I said to Landon, I said, do Grandpa a favor. He said, okay, Grandpa, what is it? I said, to go out into the kitchen and between the sink and the stove, bring me that garbage can that's underneath there. Okay, Grandpa. He goes out, he comes back, he says, I can't find it. Now, I didn't say garbage can the second time. So I said, between the sink and between the stove, it's right there. Go get it. He comes back, Grandpa, I can't find it. I said, it's between the sink and between the stove. You know, what don't you get? Amen. And he goes back out, he comes back, Grandpa, I cannot find the Windex. How'd you get Windex out of garbage can? Amen. Good night. And I love that boy like nobody's business. He travels with me. He'll travel with me on the weekends when I'm going out preaching somewhere. And he loves to go with me. And I love to have him with me. Then I drive one way about two and a half to three hours. He drives me back in the afternoon. You know, and what a great ride it is. And we talk and we talk and we talk. Actually, he talks about nothing, so I go to sleep. That's usually what happens. Amen. He said in 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. It's not talking about not being drunk. It's talking about being sound of mind. Be ye therefore sober, sound of mind. Instant, continue, or yeah, therefore, be ye therefore sober and walk unto prayer. Prayer. Examination and prayer. Examination and prayer. The next thing, watch this with me. Because he says in verse 16 again, thus saith the Lord, stand in your ways and see, and ask for the old paths that we're supposed to ask for. Where is the good way and walk therein? That's the action. That's the action. We want revival in our life. There should be some action. Go back to 1 Corinthians with me in chapter 6 in your Bibles. 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, as you're turning there, I'm going to grab myself a sip of water because my throat is so dry. Anybody else want a sip? I mean, First Corinthians chapter 6, watch this. Down to verse 9, he says this, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor abusers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves, nor doctors, excuse me, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves. That was me. Thief, covetous, that was me. Drunkard, that was me. Reviler, that was me. Nor extortioners shall inherit, and I did all that. But he says, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then he says this, and such were some of you. So such were, he didn't say all of you. He said some of them, all of this applied to, amen. Some of this, some of that applied to, and some of it, a little bit applied to somebody. So this applies to me and you. Such were, I am not an English teacher. When you hear me preach enough, you know I don't know much about the English language. Amen. I know some hillbilly, amen, but I don't know a lot about the English language. I'm terrible with it. But he says in such were, that were is past tense. Past tense. This is how we were. Not how we are supposed to be now. Not what we're supposed to be doing now. This is what we were. So he says, in such were some of you, but ye are washed, how with the blood of Jesus Christ, but ye are sanctified, how with the Holy Spirit of God, but ye are justified, how in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We're justified just as if we had never sinned. That's how he looks at you now. So he says, such were some of you. That's what we're doing. The action that needs to be taken in our lives, that we need to abstain from fornication. We need to abstain from these things. We need to live a godly life and a pure life and a holy life and a right life as the children of God. And it doesn't take much to get us off a kilter sometimes. One of the most wicked things in out there today. Two. Well, let's say three. One is electronics. Two is cell phones. I really hate cell phones. I really do. Praise the Lord. I haven't heard one go off in here yet tonight. I see a sign once walking up says, shut them off. I hope you shut them off. I do. Amen. And three is a television set. I'm not preaching against it. I've got a television. I'm not preaching against it. But boy, we are so easy to get off kilter and watch something we should not watch, or some commercial pops up there and we don't turn it off or change the channel or something. It's terrible anymore. Amen. And that stuff draws kids, it draws adults, it don't just draw teenagers, it draws adults, it doesn't just draw men, it draws ladies the same way sometimes. And we have to be so careful as believers in Christ that we don't fall back into this attitude right here that is not supposed to be in our lives, because we were saved by the grace of God. Ephesians 5:8 says this, for ye were, there's that word were again, past tense, for ye were sometimes darkness. Now he's talking, the church in Ephesus was a Gentile church, not a church made up of Jewish people. There might have been some that were there, but there, it was not made for, it was a Gentile area. It was a Gentile church. And he's looking at the Gentile church, and he tells them, he says, listen, he says, for ye were, he talked to everybody there, ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Man, that's not a suggestion. That's a command. That's not something that we should think about doing. That's something that we should desire to do. Amen. And then look at one more with me, or two more with me quickly. I'll try to get through this quickly with you now. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 6 again, because he makes a statement in Jeremiah chapter 6 one more time. He says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Peace. Are you at peace with God? You lay your head on your pillow at night, are you able to just, I can go right to sleep. Sometimes I toss and turn because my back hurts, and then my hip hurts, and my knee hurts, and then my feet, I've got neuropathy, I can't feel my feet, but I get that neuropathy in there, and I get nerve damage, and man, those things fire like little electronic buzzers going, and man, they'll make me jump, and you know, sometimes I get it in my leg will snap or jump, you know. Man, I'm just a mess. I'm just telling you, amen. I'm falling apart. I'm just glad parts aren't falling off, amen. Hallelujah. You're glad too. What would you do if I didn't have a nose up here tonight? And 2 years ago, I'd just be a little sculpt. Well, I am anyway, amen. What can I say? They say, what would you do if I didn't have any hair? Well, I don't have any hair anymore. What can I say? Peace. He says in Isaiah 28:12, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Well, that's what happens here, because you look at the end of this verse, but they said, we will not walk therein. We're not going to do it. We're not going to obey. We're not going to follow. We're not going to rejoice in the things of the Lord. Now that ought not to be the church. That ought not to be the born again believers saved by the very grace of God. We are to be different. Amen. I'd like to tell you that in 51 years of salvation, that I have never sinned. I'd like to tell you that, but if I did, you better walk out of this room. Amen. I mean, you ought to, if I say that, then you ought to get up and go right out that door and not listen to anything else I have to say. But I have sinned. Boy, and there's been times in my Christian life, before I went, even before I went into the ministry, and sometimes even while I was in the ministry, I was preaching one time in my home church, in the church I pastored back in the mid-80s. A couple of you weren't born yet, but in, some of you were born way before that. But in Roy, he's one, and in the mid-80s, I'll never forget. There was a guy in the church that every Sunday he planned. I don't know why, but we just sort of irritated each other, I think. And I never said, I wouldn't say, I would talk to him and I'd be nice to him and kind to him. But every Sunday morning he would do something that would just make the hackles go up on my neck. And one time I was there on the one day, and something happened the one Sunday, and all week long I studied the message. All week long. And then Saturday I'm studying this message, and I'm planning in my mind what I'm going to say. And the Holy Spirit of God spoke to my heart. And said, I don't want you to preach that. Now, I've had it happen before. But I was angry. And Sunday morning when I got up, I'm sitting up front on the platform, and the song leader's up there. And it was the song leader who was giving me the hard time, you know. And I'm sitting there, and I got my Bible open in my lap, and I'm just looking down at my notes real quick. And the Holy Spirit says, don't preach it. I'm not going to be in it. And I said, I'm going to preach it anyway. That's what my heart said. I'm telling you, just as sure as I'm standing right here. And I tell you, I've never felt like that in the ministry before. And I got up and I preached that message, and I hurt my people. I mean, I hurt my people. And I went home that afternoon, and the Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart, and I wept like a baby. Went back to the pulpit that night with tears in my eyes and just weeping before the people. And I asked him to please, please forgive me. I was wrong for what I did. And can I tell you something? They forgave me, but let me tell you something. The damage was already done. And when we don't listen to the Holy Spirit of God and we go against the will of God, the damage is already done, no matter how you try to repair it. Amen. And if it's happened to you that way, the only thing you can do now is what? Rise above it. Get above it. Amen. Hey, help me. Everybody say, let's get above it. Amen. That's what we need. That's what I need. That's what you need. But then he makes a statement, one more verse, and we'll be done with this. Last point. Also, I set watchmen over you. What were the watchmen? The watchmen in that day were those who would stand on top of the wall, and they would blow the trumpet if the enemy was coming, or there are certain times they blow the trumpet for certain things, and the people would come into the walls that they would be safe. Today we would look at that, who sounds the trumpet today? Well, the missionary sounds the trumpet, the evangelist sounds the trumpet, the pastor sounds the trumpet. What is the trumpet? The trumpet is the word of God. This is what's being sounded out today. This is a warning. The things in the Bible, the Word of God, that will help us if we would just simply listen to what the Bible says and read the Bible and get into the Bible and get into prayer and study the Word and read the Word and look into the Word and then use the Word in our life as the children of God. Listen, he says. I set watchmen over you saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. Listen to what I have to say. He's saying, listen to the trumpet. Listen to the Word of God. Jeremiah 25:4 says this, and the Lord has sent unto you all his servants and the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened nor inclined your ear to hear. You would not hearken. You would not listen nor incline your ear to hear what was being said. How many of you used to tell your children, that just went in one ear and out the other? I think my mother told me that every day of my life, amen. when are you going to start to listen to me? You know, well, when in one ear or not the other, you know. So I got smart with her one time and said that and got smacked for it. Amen. Anybody else in here been smacked by your mother? Hey, how many of you deserved it? Hallelujah. Me too. Amen. Now listen, I had a friend, his name was Warren. And, Warren was, for 15 years old, Warren was a wicked, wicked, wicked young man. I'm not kidding you. His dad was I can't even remember his dad. I think he worked at the bank in our town. Maybe he was the president of the bank in the town. I can't remember sure now, but I heard Warren cuss out his mom and his father when he's 15 years old. Filthy language that I wouldn't even think about saying to my mother, you know. Not because she'd wash my mouth out, not because she would smack me, but I love my mother. I didn't always do right by her. I hurt her a lot of times because of the things I did in my life and how I went to prison, how I did other things, and she prayed for me. And then I went back the second time I got arrested before I went back to prison was the day she was getting married to my stepdad, who I was 19. All the other kids were out of home on both sides. She was getting married, and I got thrown in jail the same day I missed the wedding. You know? And no wonder she was upset with me. I wasn't saved yet, so I got saved finally a couple of years later. But boy, I tell you, I hurt her tremendously sometimes. But Warren, let me tell you a story about Warren. Warren lived a wicked life. And when he was 18, I believe it was 18 years old, maybe 19, he was in a restaurant in Austinburg, Ohio, right on the corner of Main Highway Route 90 and Route 45. And he was sitting there eating at the counter, and my wife and another young man by the name of Fred Fowler, and there were two others and another young lady, and they were all going to Bible Institute in Cleveland, Ohio, a little Bible college, and then driving back and forth. And they stopped there because Fred's car broke down. So they all went into the restaurant to get something to drink and eat and have their coffee or whatever. Warren was sitting at the counter. And Fred, who's a preacher today out in Washington State, you'd have to know Fred. Fred never went anywhere without his Bible in his hand. He'd walk into a restaurant with a Bible in his hand. He didn't leave it. I'm never more than 5 minutes away from mine at the most. But he would carry it right in with him. And I've done that before a few times, but that's how he was. And he sees Warren sitting at that counter. And so Fred goes over, says something, he opens up his Bible and he plops the Bible down beside Warren. And Warren said, if you were to die today, where would you go? That's how I started the conversation, you know. And Warren just like he says, Warren, he said, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, he says, you're going to go to hell. Can I share something with you? Warren said, well, yeah, go ahead. So he shared the word with him. He shared the Roman road with him and some other verses, knowing Fred, with him. And he says, well, Warren, he said, what do you think? And Warren says, no, he says, I don't think I'm ready. Well, Fred says this to him. He said, what would happen if tonight on your way home from here, you got hit by a train? What would happen to you? And Warren says, I take my chances. Now listen to the true story. Listen to the rest of the story. He was going up into Ashtabula, and he was coming down the hill by Bunker Hill up there, and there was some railroad tracks that crossed at the bottom of the hill, like two or three sets of them. And there was a train coming, and he had a radio up so loud, the police report read, he had a radio up so loud in his car, he did not hear the train whistle when he blew across that train track, and he got hit and killed instantly. The same night he was asked that question. What happened? He did not listen. How sad. Well, we have people that sit in churches all the time that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And they get up and they walk out those doors not knowing Him. And my prayer is it does not happen to them what happened to Warren. Amen. That's a sad place to be. Listen to what God says to you and obey Him that you might have revival. Revival, revival in your church and in your hearts. Amen. let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Two questions tonight again with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I don't know where you stand as a born again believer. I don't know where you hold. I don't know where you're at, or as an individual. But let me ask this question. If you were to die tonight, are you sure that you would be in heaven? Are you sure 100%? If you could say, Mike, I know 100% for sure that I'd be in heaven if I died tonight, would you put up your hand? Don't be afraid. Just put it right up in the air. Put it right up in the air. Let me see him. Put it way up in the air and leave him up for just a little bit. I want to look around. God bless you. Praise the Lord. You can put them down. You can put them down. Now listen, if you could not, sometimes people just don't raise their hand, and I understand that, but if you could not raise your hand because you're not saved, if you could not and you did not, would you look up here at me? If you did not raise your hand, say that you're saved. Just look up where I'm at. Just look up here for a moment. Anybody at all? I don't see anybody looking. I hope that you know for sure that you have eternal life. I really do. Second question is this tonight. Mike, would you pray for me? Because there's some things you touched on tonight. There's some things in my life I need revival, and I know it. I know it. Would you pray for me that tonight, as I go to the Lord, that I would seek his face and bring honor to him with how I live my life? How about right now? You say that to me. Slip up your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hands all over. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. I see your hand. God bless you. You can put them down. Anybody else? Anybody else? For go to the Lord in prayer. Anybody else? Anybody else? Let's stand our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed once again tonight. We're not going to waste any time. The Lord spoke to your heart. You slip out of your seat and you come up here right now. Slip out of your seat and come on. Come on. You just come. You raise your hand. You come to the altar. Come up here to the altar. Come all the way up. Make room for everybody else. You just come all the way up. Come all the way up. Full of spots up here where it's empty. Just keep on coming on up. Come on up. Come on up. We've got plenty of room up here yet. Come on up. Come on up. Lord, speak to your heart. You just need to come. And I want you to begin this way. In your hearts, between you and the Lord, you pray right now and ask him to help you in your Christian life to come to a place where you will experience revival with him, that you might have a godly life and live the way that he would like you to live as a child of God. You just pray that way right now. And I'm going to give you a few moments and I'm going to pray with you. And then I'll close at the same time. Father, I thank you for your wonderful grace and your mercy, Father, for these tonight who stepped up and came to the altar, Father, seeking from you that which would help each one of them. They know, Father, where they're at in their Christian life. They know where you spoke to them, Father. Help them tonight to bring honor and glory to you, Father, that they might have revival in their lives, and that because of that, it might spread through the church. Lord, because of that, souls would be saved. Because of that, people will see a difference in their lives and desire what they have, that you might have all of the honor and all of the glory now. In Jesus' precious and holy loving name, amen and amen. And you may go back to your seats. Thank you so much for coming forward.
In closing tonight, I heard Mike talk a couple times this week about being different than the world. We're called out. We're followers of Christ. We should be different than the world. Those of you who've been in my Sunday school class, I've said it for a long time. We have to be different. If not, nobody's going to come through those doors. We're not different than the world. I just had to say that because we're being watched. When we go out in that world, how we conduct our business, you know, the words that come out of our mouth, you know, we're being watched. And we need to be different.